Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR Central Standard, and we've been listening to some of our favorite conversations from 2018. One of those was with Madison Ward and the Mama Bear. They're a local band with a national audience. When we talked to them, they just released a single, Childhood Goodbye.
Walk this earth till this curse won't come back again. Be my road, be my home, my bad weather friend. Walk this earth till this curse won't come back again. Oh, child, goodbye, childhood, goodbye.
Madison Ward and the Mama Bear are here with me in the studio. Madison is the vocalist you've been hearing. Madison, good morning.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having us.
Thanks for being here. And the Mama Bear is actually Madison's mom, Ruth Ward. She's playing the guitar in this song, right, Ruth?
That's right. Hello.
Hi. So you guys have talked with KCUR before, and you've talked about how you came to be a mother-son duo making music on the national stage. We'll touch on some of that a little more, but this new single about letting go of childhood, that seems especially poignant for a mother and son.
Well, I never thought of it so much that way, but yes, I guess you got a point there, yeah.
Yeah, we sort of just played around with different themes and topics, and that for some reason, that was one that came out. You never always know what's going to come out of a writer's room or what sort of topics you're going to touch on, but it felt sort of profound and very anthem-y, and it was, yeah, just something we decided to tackle.
It does sound very anthem-y. Like, when you talk about that it seemed profound, can you tell me more about that?
Well, just that idea of, like, letting go of childhood and really, you know, growing into yourself and becoming who you are, and how you start to realize that even though you have to let go, those experiences really shape a big part of who you become.
Right.
When you're an adult, and so in a way you don't really let go. So you say goodbye, but it's very, it's not necessarily permanent.
Right, I agree, it's not necessarily permanent. I think there's things in my childhood that I still carry with me today. I just don't let them rule my life. You know, just different things that happen when you're growing up. And I think as you become an adult, you become a lot more mature instead of immature.
It's funny that you say that, because when I think about a mother-son duo, I just think about how no matter how much I personally mature, like, I feel like the second I am back around my mom, I'm a little more like a 15-year-old.
I can rest assured Madison is not that way. He's very mature, and I don't have that kind of pool with him, I guess. I wish I did.
there's a different dynamic that I tell people a lot with my mom and I, just with her being a musician and an artist from a very young age. And yeah, we're mother and son, but the dynamic is a little different. And when we're out on the road with whether it be our tour manager or bandmates, they sometimes tell us that they forget that we're related often. So I don't. So I try not to go back to that 15-year-old version of myself. But I don't know. I guess it's up to other people to decide.
You know, Ruth, do you remember the first musical inklings of your son? Do you remember witnessing those?
Oh yes. He really. We gave him a guitar, and he didn't pick it up at first. But and I knew that it, because I have two other children, and I thought maybe one would play the guitar like I did. But after a little while, he did pick it up, and I started listening to him practice, and I practiced with him. And then I told him, I said, most important, when you learn to play, you have to also sing and play at the same time. And I told him, and then he started writing songs, because he was very good with words. And so when he started putting the words to the melodies and writing, I knew he was gifted, yeah,
Do you remember one of your first songs where you put together words and melodies and maybe how your mom was a little bit involved with that?
I do remember one of the first ones. I don't know, she wasn't too involved, but I remember writing a tune and bringing it to her, and it was all about how falling in love with a girl but not being able to afford to take her out to
great
dinner or anything. And
how old were you?
I wasn't that young because I really started kind of late as far as songwriting. So I want to say I was in mid high school or something like that. But but I just remember it was like, "Excuse me, miss, I don't mean to be rude, but you and me spells Chinese food. People say I'm a goody two shoes, but all I really want is a little bit of mushu pork on the tip of my fork." So yeah, that was that song.
I love it.
And it was just ridiculous. And I used to love the idea of making the most ridiculous music I could. And yeah, she loved it. She was like, "Go play it at the coffee shop." So we did.
You know, Ruth, tell us more about how you got started in music, because your musical background had already been going for a while when you listening to your songs.
Ever since I was young. That childhood we talk about. I loved music, and I loved all kinds of music. I'm a very eclectic person when it comes to music. And when I was 19 years old, I had a friend that was playing the guitar, and I just said, "Hey, play the guitar and let me put words to the melody." And I thought, man, I should do this for myself. So I asked this guy, I said, "Would you mind teaching me how to play the guitar?" So he tried to teach me the G chord. And the G chord was very difficult. He said, "Ruth, you'll never learn to play."
Whoa. How old were you?
I was 19.
You know, I had a friend hand me a guitar at that age, and I didn't pick one back up much. But I, what's sort of odd, I think, if you don't grow up doing that, is just there is a certain awkwardness, at least I felt it, in holding this big thing. Did you feel that?
No, I knew I wanted to learn to play, and I taught myself, and I had my little techniques that I used, and then I started doing what I told him. I started writing melodies and words all at the same time, and it just developed, and then I started singing in coffee houses and quite a bit, and so I and other places as well. But
I've heard you call yourself a hippie.
Really? I said that?
I may have called you that. Oh. Or coming from that, at least coming from that era. That
I like the word counterculture, more so than hippie, you know. But
that's
anyway,
what hippies call themselves. I know. Counterculturalists.
Anyway.
Tell me more about, though, the coffee shop scene where you came up. I'm curious how it compares to the one that your son came
up
in.
Well, I just enjoyed singing in the coffee houses, and I had a lot of friends and other musicians, and it was just part of who I was. And I also like being in control over my destiny. If I didn't feel like playing that week, I didn't have to play. But as Madison started playing, I would sing in the coffee houses, and I heard talent. And so I'd say, "Hey, why don't you come out and maybe play during my break?" And then all of a sudden he would be at home and we'd practice stuff together, and then we started doing it together, and it just evolved. It was a serious evolution of music with us. So,
you know, Madison, when did you go from maybe like playing music with your mom is something that you did for fun at home to the idea that, no, my mom is who I should be performing with?
I think that happened whenever we were playing in the coffee shops, and like as she mentioned, I would play during her break. But I started to write a bunch of originals, and she started to like the originals, and it started to become less of just come play during my break and let's actually go share an entire evening of music together. Then we started relying on the original music and getting rid of all the covers. And then we said, how about we have an entire night of not a single cover? Let's see if we can just entertain a bunch of folks with just original songs. And once we kind of got to that point and people were requesting originals, I was like, I think we're a duo. I think we just became one. And do you want to pursue this as an actual career of some sort? And she said, yeah. And we just put no brakes on it, pretty much.
It must be so strange to go from, you know, you've played together in like the living room at home in those quiet moments to suddenly you're on David Letterman.
Blew me out of the boat. Because we had just got back from California. We did a Grammy lunch when they had the Grammy Awards, and we did a Grammy lunch show. And I remember coming home, and I said, man, I just want to sleep for 2 days. And then my daughter came into my bedroom. She goes, Mom, you got to wake up. They want you on the David Letterman show. And I said, oh, you're lying. She goes, no, Mom, serious. And I thought, David Letterman? Ugh, I was just blown away. So,
yeah, it was incredible. I didn't have any time to really process what we were doing. It was more, any time anything has happened to us, you know, on this journey, it's been a pretty big, just kind of close your eyes, shut up and do it sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then we'll process everything later, maybe, if we can, you know. And so when they asked us to go do David Letterman, I mean, I've grown up watching late night shows my whole life, always thought to myself, what if I ever were able to be on that stage in any capacity, whether I'm behind a camera or in the seat or performing music. And so, I mean, in that sense, I mean, it was a real dream come true. And yeah, we were more than grateful to be a part of it.
Does doing that kind of thing as family, just does it give you some kind of touchstone of like home and or unconditional love in high stakes situations like that? Or no, is it sort of like you're still just a person on David Letterman?
I'm not sure if it does in the moment. Sometimes it kind of does because, you get on that stage and you're doing like a sound check. And then, you know, maybe after your sound check, you just look over to your left and you're looking, you're like, how did we end up here? What are we doing? You know, because, you know, we've all those years in the home, all those years coming up. And then now you're sitting on this stage and you look over and you're just like, I mean, my sister was able to come out with us on that trip as well. And even that was really cool. You know, we get off stage and we go back and she's there and we're like, what are we doing? You know, and we're just
my brother was there as well.
Yeah. It's like we're some punks from Independence. We're not supposed to be we're not supposed to be on this stage.
Well, I want to talk to you about Independence because your new song, which we heard a little bit of before, there's a music video that goes along with it, and it's got you two sitting at Clinton's, like a neighborhood place in Independence. Is that place meaningful to you?
Not necessarily. I guess it's meaningful. First of all, let me preface this by our stories are never what people want them to be.
Oh.
like you guys must have played on a porch ever since you were 3 years old. I'm like, no. No, but
we all romanticize having our own family bands.
We do, right? And yeah, and the real, you know, the true fact of it is never is that romantic. But it's but yeah, I mean, it's meaningful in the sense of there are old memories of going there, but it just seemed more like a touchstone. I guess meaningful in relation to the city, in the history of the city, and you know,
just
after
being able to share Independence with your audience,
exactly, and just something that's very that people who you know are from here can see it and they know it whenever they look at it. And then I had people telling me that was, you know, Harry S. Truman's first job was at Clinton's. And I didn't know that until, you know, after we shot. I was like, oh, good. That's even a little more history behind it. But but it felt really good to be shooting somewhere that was just, you know, miles away from where you live or a block away from where you live.
I'm going to get back to this new song, Childhood Goodbye. But first, I want to hear one of your other songs, because we've heard a song where Madison, it's you singing, but I want to hear a song where it's Mama Bear singing. Mm-hmm. Let's give it a listen.
Here you go again. You want your freedom. Who am I? Keep you down. It's only right that you should play away your feelings. Listen carefully.
What inspired you about this song?
Before Madison and I became a duo, I used to sing covers all the time. And I remember learning this song, and people really responded heavily to this song. So when we were in New York, they wanted us to do a cover as well as an original. And Madison and I talked about it, and we thought this would be a great cover to do. And because there's depth to that song and the feeling and the emotion, and it comes out. And so we decided to do this song. And every time I do it, I get you know, great response. So,
and it's sort of like it's beautiful to be able to cover, you know, other folks' music, but you know, very rarely, you know, just it doesn't happen with us in every song we attempt to play by someone else, but where the song really just kind of becomes something else and it really feels like it's familiar, but we've played that song on stage before and there's people who don't know what we're doing until we get to that chorus because it really...
Yeah, I had this feeling of this is familiar, but I can't put my finger on
right,
it.
Yeah,
right.
And I like whenever that can happen, whenever it feels like... I feel like it's much more natural and organic to the style of what we play as a, coming from that folk duo background. And we were really happy to be able to do that at Sirius XM, and then they ended up asking for us to go record it, like in LA. So they released it on, I think, like Pace Magazine, just that song by itself, and it had nothing to do with anything, really. It was sort of just a feel-good, spur-of-the-moment sort of thing.
Right. And it's something that people, especially our concerts, are more filled with original music than anything. And I think that it's something that people can kind of identify with, you know, especially that countercultural generation.
A song that people have already shared.
That's right, right.
Hippies. So,
counterculture.
Yeah, yeah.
3 years have gone by since your last album, Skeleton Crew, and I'm curious about how you think you've changed or grown as musicians since then.
Well, I think, you know, it's inevitable that you'll become, you know, less green the more that you do this, but...
You say inevitable like that's a bad thing.
No, like inevitable like it's more, it's fate. No, no, I mean, you're very green whenever
you first
get into the business. Right. And, you know, obviously you're gonna learn the layout of the land more the longer you do it. And playing with bandmates was a big... that was a big thing for us because we had always just played together, and whenever it's just the two of us, we've been able to push and pull on tempo and be able to get loud or quiet however we want, and sort of expanding upon the sound has been a journey for us. And I think with the new music that we've been recording, it's already, you know, a few steps up from what we did on Skeleton Crew, which was just a lot of live tracking and not too much accompaniment. So it's definitely been a learning, you know, curve for us, but we're kind of just going through it together.
And we're also trying on this new album, there will be a lot more instrumentation and different things like that, but we try to still not steer too away from who we are, you know, so people would know that is Madison Ward and the Mama Bear. And
is that also part of filming the video in Independence, like not on tour, not somewhere too far from home?
Well, I think that was more just for, I don't know, just for the aesthetic and then also for the meaning behind it. And I mean, and in that video, you know, there's lots of people shooting themselves from different parts of the world.
Because, photographically, like images of different people.
Correct. Under a video, you know, camera, and you know, recording themselves doing different, you know, whether it be lip syncing or just singing along or doing anything. And we edited it all together, and it was through a site called Hit Record, which was like a collaborative artist community where people remix each other's work. And
so those weren't people who were like personal friends of yours, they're people who you found through that website?
Yeah, well, the website just kind of brings these artists together, so in a way it's almost kind of like you're friends with them, but there are many people who contribute who I have no idea who they are, and that you put the project out on the site. And it's a site made by Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He started, the actor, he created it back in like I think maybe 2007 with his brother, and I hopped on the site back in 2010 and sort of kind of gained this little relationship through the community and with him, and we brought up this music video idea of saying, hey, we want to just see if we can shoot all these people, you know, collaborating on this one video for this single that we have. And they said, we don't normally do that with people outside of Hit Record, but since you've been a member since 2010 and we know who you are, they were like, we'll do this for you.
What did it mean to you to have people like, you see all these different faces and you do get just a feel for them being very international.
Right.
What did it mean to you to have that in this song, you know, layered over it?
It meant quite a bit because whenever you start to first realize that you're reaching people from very far away, whether it be through a site like that or just with somebody from Australia tells you that they bought your record, it's a really heartwarming experience and very rewarding to know that that reach can go that far and that the world can become really small whenever you make music. So it definitely meant a lot to us as musicians and as people.
Well, that's so cool. Our time is up. Madison Ward and the Mama Bear, aka Ruth, it has been an honor meeting you. Thank you.
It's been great meeting you as well.
Thank you, Gina. Thanks for having us.
Our conversation with Madison Ward and the Mama Bear first aired back in March. Thanks for listening to today's show, an encore broadcast from the Best of KCUR Central Standard 2018. If you missed our earlier conversations with Ted Reederer of Never Records, you can find them online at kcur.org/centralstandard. Tomorrow on the show, the conundrum of what to do when you find a sunken steamboat on your property. KCUR's Central Standard is produced by Melody Rowell, with Coy Duggar, Chris Young, and Suzanne Hogan. Sylvia Maria Gross is our senior producer. I'm Gina Kaufman. Stay tuned to KCUR.